If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Go-to guest for all things education has become Liz Schulman. Liz, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for giving us some of your time. You teach at Northwestern. You're also a high school teacher in Evanston, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you teach the high school kids again, Liz, for those who haven't heard you visit with us in the past?
Yes, I teach English. I teach 9th grade and 12th grade English.
You've talked to us in the past about how you corral the kids' attention with social media distractions and smartphones. How's it going this year?
Well, you know, it's difficult. We're in the middle of the semester. It's hard. You know, we do have a policy. The phones are supposed to be put away, as are the AirPods, headphones. But it's challenging, you know, and it's getting harder every year as they become more dependent on their devices.
I want to talk to you about what's happening in Florida, but just for a minute, let's talk about what's happening in your school. Does your district or school have a policy, or how much teeth does it have? How enforceable or enforced is it?
Yeah, we do have a policy. So they are supposed to be away before they cross the threshold into the classroom. The problem with these policies is that it's ultimately up to the teacher to keep enforcing it.
So the kids can have their devices, but when they walk into the classroom, the thing needs to be put away. But if they don't, now you've got to monitor that, right?
Yeah, you know, I actually was just talking to them about this last period. I told them that I'd be talking to you, and we were talking about how some teachers do have, like, boxes or little, they call them phone hotels, that you slide them into their little hotel room when you walk in. And a lot of my students were saying that, you know, when adults take things away, they find ways to be sneaky. Other students refuse to give up their phone.
So then what do you do in a situation, or what would a teacher do in a situation like that?
So I tell them that they are expected to self-monitor. I tell them that they're expected to put them away so that they can focus on doing school.
And if you have the little hotel there and somebody doesn't, now minutes of the class period are going to be given to just addressing this one situation, when I'm sure the teacher would rather just be teaching, right?
100%. I mean, these are conversations that are happening so much more than we would like. Just last period when I was talking to them, they also told me how much their parents are contacting them. Several students said this, that if the parents will text them, and if their kid doesn't respond pretty quickly, then they follow up with a phone call.
Yeah.
And so the students feel like they need to get back to their parents because they say that they're embarrassed when the parents are calling them.
Yeah. So here's the story from the New York Times. This Florida school district banned cell phones. Here's what happened. They paint the scene of what it was like one afternoon last month at Timber Creek High School in Orlando. The students poured into the campus's sprawling central courtyard to hang out and eat lunch. Dozens of the kids sat in small groups, animatedly talking with one another. Others played pickleball on a makeshift lunchtime court. There was not a cell phone in sight, and that was no accident. In May, Florida passed a law requiring public school districts to impose rules barring student cell phone use during class time. And this fall, Orange County Public Schools, which includes this high school I'm talking about, went even further, barring students from using cell phones during the entire school day. They said there's another school districts across the country are adopting this. In Hillsborough County Public Schools in Tampa, for instance, there's a new cell phone policy. They have signs up, "We see it, we take it." I wonder if something like that could work in Illinois or in Evanston. What do you think about that story?
I think it's a fantastic idea, because when we have a law, then that supports teachers. And because teachers are the ones who end up enforcing this in the classroom, in the trenches with these kids every day, if there's a law, then it's the law. And, you know, we all have to abide by it, including parents.
Yeah, I was, you know, that's why I introduced that part of the conversation then, because where the parents are a challenge, and I know a lot of them are worried that if there's some violence in the classroom and the kids want to alert their parents, there's a shooter or something's going on, they need their cell phones. And I've always argued that a cell phone in the kid's hand, while they could alert their parents, does not make the child any safer. So I'm not compelled by that argument. But the parents are a big part of this problem, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And, you know, I've talked to them. And actually, one of my students last period, several of them joked and said, you know, I answer the phone when my parents call, or I answer a text right away, and then my parent says, why are you getting back to me? You're in school.
Yeah, right. So then I wonder, though, if your eyes gaze upon a child who's looking down at their phone while you are lecturing, what do you do in that situation, Liz?
Well, I mean, it depends on what's going on. I try to not single them out. I try to address it. I'm constantly addressing it and also trying to talk to them about why school matters, about why the physical space of the classroom is important. You know, like if we're having a complex, deep discussion, reading a story, talking about what it means to be a teenager today, for example, or reading a book about war, and you know, if a student is discovering something for the first time and really developing their critical thinking skills, as soon as they look at the phone and they see their notifications, it's lost.
What are you teaching the kids now? I guess it depends on the class and the grade, but what are the kids reading or studying in your classroom?
So we're about to read Ann Tyler's story, Teenage Wasteland, which is exactly what I was just saying about, you know, what it means to be a teenager. And this is preparation to read the very famous play Raisin in the Sun, which will start in a couple weeks.
What is Teenage Wasteland about? I did not read that.
It's about this this teenager who has a tutor, and he's not doing well in school, and that the parents aren't really sure how to reach him, and just some of the emotional stuff that he's dealing with being a teen.
You know, when we have these conversations, I vilify in my head the kids and their parents, and I want you to tell me that they're nice kids, they're smart kids, they're interactive with you, that they like learning, or they do learn. Is some or all of that true also, Liz?
It is. These kids are great, and the thing is, they know that they feel better when they get a break. It's just they need to be off of the devices long enough so that they can develop themselves. And so so many of us educators are trying to teach them that they deserve to have a break from the very thing that's making them miserable. We have all of the research we need that says that. But yeah, they're great. They're smart. They're funny. You can tell that they feel better when they take a break from it. They engage with each other. I mean, everything that article in Florida was saying is true when they're off the devices.
Oh, I know. It's such a breath of fresh air. I mean, that scene, dozens sat in small groups, animatedly talking with one another. Others played pickleball on a makeshift court, not a cell phone in sight. And I was like, yes, yay! That's so healthy. I'm so happy for you kids. You're not craning your neck down and looking in your lap, right?
Yeah, and also, you know, what it means to not be constantly under surveillance. You know, there have been cases where kids are recording, they're putting them up on Snapchat, there's cases where they've recorded teachers. I mean, it's scary for all of us when we know that we could be being recorded and that things could be taken out of context. So if we're really trying to get them to learn to think critically and to be creative, they need that space free of surveillance.
I didn't realize that there was a phenomenon that you just alluded to, say, in some schools, it says here, young people have planned and filmed assaults on fellow students and then uploaded the videos on platforms like TikTok and Instagram. Teachers and principals warn that social apps like Snapchat have become a major distraction, prompting some pupils to keep messaging their friends during class. There are times where I have seen maybe security officer or a teacher abusing a student that's been captured by some other student's phone. But it sounds like sometimes these student-on-student acts of violence are actually planned, orchestrated, so they can upload them with their phones to these platforms, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of bullying that has happened with social media, which is why we know that it's bad for them, which is why the Surgeon General said there's a profound risk of harm because of social media with this generation.
I need to pause. It's 11:45. I heard a bell ring in the background. Do you have just a few more minutes, Liz?
I do, yeah.
Is this your off period by any chance?
It's my lunch, yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us. Liz Shulman is a teacher at Evanston Township High School in the School of Education and Social Policy at Northwestern University. And can I talk about what you've been working on as well?
Yeah, so I'm working on a book of stories from the classroom, just trying to capture what teachers are seeing in the classroom, you know, stories that I see, what it's like to have roosters in the courtyard who seem to have better circadian rhythms than some of our students do because of the social media addiction. Watching The Breakfast Club with students and watching the students marvel at the distance that those students at their Saturday detention get from their families, from the rest of the world, and how they're able to bond because they're not connected to anything else that day.
Talking to educator Liz Shulman, who teaches and works at Northwestern University and also at Evanston Township High School. Lots of calls and texts for you, too, Liz. Anything you want to make sure I hear from you before I read some of our text messages?
I mean, I think just to reiterate how, you know, teachers are on the front lines with this and that it's, you know, most of us believe that it is the number one impediment to learning. You know, I know it is in the 20 years that I've been teaching.
Yeah. We're talking about the kids' social devices, their phones principally, and how they're dialed in on those during the school. In Florida, in the state, they're illegal to have in the classroom, and some school districts are banning them on the campus for the entire school day, not just during class. But some of our listeners are saying things like this: repeat offenses should send the kid home. And now it will inconvenience the parent. That will teach them. I wonder what you make of that sort of attitude a lot of us have of intolerance. This will not be tolerated. If I see your phone the second time, I'll take it away from you. How practical is that attitude?
Well, I think if we were sending students home who were, you know, on the phones, I mean, there would be a mass exodus from the school. So, I mean, it is a problem all the time. And I think part of the problem is that the cat is out of the bag now. You know, I've got some students who, you know, are waiting for phone calls from their bosses. They're managers at stores. They work full time. Some of my seniors. I've got students whose medication is connected to apps on their phone. You know, so I think if there was a state law, then it would really force everybody to be dealing with this once and for all, rather than leaving it, you know, really up to individual schools and teachers to enforce.
Has any legislator come forward on that? I haven't heard. Have you heard any buzz about something like that?
I haven't.
What about this? I have a freshman daughter at Oak Park High School. They have the phone cubby things on the wall in every class. It is unbelievable how bad phones and AirPods are. I have very little interaction with my kid, and this is all sad. I guess you would concur with that, huh?
Yeah, I think it's great.
I work for a district in Gurnee, and we are starting to use Yonder phone pockets next week that the students will carry their phones in. They're turned off when they walk in the building and turned back on at the end of the day when they leave. Evidently, your school hasn't adopted that technology.
We have not adopted that. No, that's kind of like they have that at concerts where you keep your phone and then they unlock it.
I'm a teacher, and some of our parents say it could be their last chance to say goodbye if something happens in our school. Thus, they don't agree with the no cell phone policy, and that's difficult for teachers. Have you heard comments like that?
Yeah, I've heard that. I mean, parents want access to their kids all the time. I mean, I understand that there are, you know, there's a million reasons to be worried. It's just when there's not an emergency, it's affecting their learning, their ability to learn.
You're writing a book about teaching and the interaction the kids have with the devices at the same time. Can you share with us an anecdote? You mentioned one a moment ago, but is there a story you've written recently in your collection of stories? What comes to mind?
Yeah, well, on a happy note, there one of the chapters is about students who they were using their Chromebooks to make soundtracks, musical soundtracks to fit different scenes of Romeo and Juliet, and several students wanted to do their soundtrack all Taylor Swift songs, and that was really cool.
See, that's the thing. I think you and I have not talked here just now about the value of the electronic devices they have. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, the value is, you know, in terms of like what the purpose is for their learning. So in that case, they were collecting music. They were, you know, using Google Slides to make a slideshow to create their soundtrack. That's great. You know, that's different from sitting passively and scrolling through videos and posting stuff on Snapchat and texting.
And one last thing from you, Liz. I mean, you're an educator and you're an educator about education. Just give me your thought on the learning process. I think we sort of take it for granted that maybe by osmosis, a kid will learn. They're in school. But you're there where that learning happens. So how dynamic or organic is that? And how much of a compromise is it that a device is in the student's hands?
Yeah, it's an incredibly organic, in-the-moment process when you know, the whole point of school is to learn to think critically, to think about things in a new way, to maybe have a paradigm shift or to develop a new worldview. And those are really deep concepts, and those things really, really take time. And so, you know, if they're not off the devices long enough to give their minds that time to develop, that's what's interrupting the learning process and their ability to really think critically. I mean, they're teenagers. This is the time to be developing their brains.
I'm thinking of sort of like a mental whiteboard that needs to be erased of all of that digital clutter before we can write up, hey, here's what Romeo and Juliet or, you know, whatever the thing is you're teaching is about. But you got to kind of clear some space for that. Less than a minute left. Jeff, jump in here. Are you a teacher also? You're on WGN. What did you want to say?
I am a teacher. I teach with Liz at ETHS. And just want to express the frustration. And, you know, to your point, John, the benefit of technology has been amazing in my classroom, but the frustration has also really detracted from it. And so I agree with what Liz has said 1,000%.
And would both of you say that your fellow teachers are in concert with you? Does pretty much everybody agree with the two of you on this?
I mean, I would say yes. I don't want to speak for everyone, but I would say yes.
Liz, what's your answer to that?
Yeah, I would say most of us. I think some of the ones who don't enforce it are really frustrated,
right,
or you know, trying to find inventive ways to incorporate it. But yeah, I'd say most of us are on the same page.
Kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't in the enforcement angle on this. Jeff, nice of you to call. And Liz, it's always nice to talk to you. As the book evolves and comes out, let's you and I make sure we have a date on that as well, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Liz Schulman teaches at Evanston Township High School and is a professor at Northwestern.